We have two questions to answer tonight. Just two questions. We'll keep it simple for my sake. What is love and where do we find it? To find our answers, we'll look at Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let me read for you verses 1 through 8. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy. It does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. This is the word of our God. It probably doesn't surprise you that given the text I just read from 1 Corinthians 13, that we are looking at these two questions. What is love and where does it come from? Based on just these verses, though, you can see that love is something that's important. Without it, you can have all the faith in the world, you can do the kindest things, and yet, what is it worth? So love is obviously important, and love does a lot of nice things, but what is love exactly? How would you define it? If I were to ask you and put you on the spot, define love for me. It's not as easy as we might think, just like defining fire by saying, well, fire, well, it makes heat, and there's light, and it destroys things, and it purifies. Really doesn't define what fire is. This is a definition of fire. Combustion in which substances combine chemically with oxygen to give out all of those things. And I wonder if when we talk about love, we talk more about what love looks like and not what is love. So I'm asking the question. What is love? Or if you're a person looking for love, what are you looking for? Is it an emotion, something that you have a feeling deep inside, something you can fall into, which of course then means you can fall out of it? Is love just a heightened version of niceness, that you know you're a loving person if people think that you're nice? And if that's the case, then I wonder, was I being loving this past week when I made my one-year-old cry because we have a new wood stove? Of course, I moved from California, it's freezing here. A new wood stove, and have to teach him not to touch the glass or he'll burn himself. And so I said it in quite a firm voice, no, when he got close and made him cry. Was that love? Because it certainly didn't look nice. Is love anything more than that? It's important to point out that when we talk about love in English, it might seem like we're talking about different things, and we use the word in different ways. And my guess is if you've sat in a number of catechism classes or you've sat through sermons about love before, you know, well, there's three different words in Greek all used for love. There's philos, which is a brotherly kind of love, a warm friendship love. You hear it in the word Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, right? There's eros, which is a passionate kind of love, an emotional kind of love. And then there's agape, which is the word that's used 9 different times and implied another 12 in the verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And it's helpful for us to come up with a definition, to look how the Bible describes this kind of love. Just listen to the list one more time. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Just based on that description, you can see that love does a lot. And maybe that's the most important thing to remember. Love does something. Love, as the Bible describes it, is principally in action, not just an emotion, not a feeling that you're searching for, but really love is a decision. And take a look at these words and you see that love is a decision to act in the benefit of someone else, the benefit of the person that you're loving. Love is a decision to act in that person's benefit, even and especially when it comes at a cost to you. Maybe that's the definition of love, acting for the benefit of someone else, doing what's best for them, even when it comes at a cost to you. And that cost might be they don't think you're being very loving. How would it change the way that you look for love if you thought of love in this way? If you thought of it not as something to find an emotion to find, but rather a decision that you make to love someone, how would it change the way that you love? Now on to the second question. Where do we find this kind of love? We look at the description, and again, it's quite amazing all the things that love does. And I wonder if it's not unlike looking at the internet for a recipe and finding one that you decide to make. And if you're like me, you put all the ingredients together and you follow all the steps, but inevitably the end result looks nothing like the beautiful picture online. And I wonder if that's not how this portion of Scripture is like for us when it comes to love. We see what love is supposed to look like, and we ask ourselves, where am I supposed to find love that looks patient and kind and not envious and not boastful, it's not rude, doesn't keep a record of wrongs? Where do I find this? And you might ask yourself that question because, well, you have people in your life that love you or claim to love you. When you think about it, they haven't done these things. They haven't always been patient with you or kind. They've been rude. They're keeping a record of your wrongs and letting you know when you do something else. They're not always protecting, and you wish they'd trust you more. And you might say, well, where can I find this kind of love if I can't even find it in the people who say they love me most? Yet there's still a more troubling thought here, and that is, if I can't find it in others, what about in myself? Because isn't it true that we want to put our best face forward? We want people to think that we're loving, and so we do our best to cover up our true motives, our true thoughts, what we think about people, what we say about them behind their backs. We cover all those things up because we don't want them to think we're unloving. But you know yourself better than anyone else. And that's a scary thought, isn't it? To consider this is what love looks like. It's patient, but I'm not. It's kind, but how kind am I to those who I don't really like very much? It does not envy, but I do. It does not boast. It is not proud. All of these things. It keeps no record of wrongs, but I certainly like to do that. It does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes. And you know better than anyone else that isn't describing you. And as Christians, what's even more troubling is we know that there's one thing God demands from us. It's to love. That's how Jesus summed all God's law up. He said, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And we haven't. We haven't. So what good news is there for us in a passage about love? I go back to that illustration of the recipe and an effort to recreate what the picture online looked like. And maybe you do it 100 times and you can't quite get it right, but what if the person who put that picture online came to your kitchen, and what if they combined all the ingredients in the exact way that it needs to be done, and they did all the steps to make the end product exactly how it was supposed to look. And they handed you the cookie or whatever it is that they were baking and said, "Now this is yours." And it's perfect, just like the picture online. And isn't this the claim of Christianity? Isn't this what sets us apart? That we know what God has done for us is precisely that. That God in his love has looked down on us who are not only lacking in our love, but are truly unlovable by God's standards. And yet in his love, he who is love came to be love for us. So that Jesus combines all the perfect ingredients and he gives the Father the perfect end product, perfect love for us, love that brings him to his cross in the greatest act of love for this world, for you and for me, pouring out his blood for us, who again are truly undeserving of any of this love, so that we can gather here tonight on a Wednesday night, February the 15th in 2017, and say we are here because we know we have received the love of Jesus for us, love that is like no other, love that finds itself beautifully on the pages of Scripture, love that looks a whole lot like Jesus. This past week, my wife was over at a friend's house, and of course, it's Valentine's week, and her friend gave her a chalk heart, and it's a heart that says, "I love you because," and then, of course, you can take the chalk and write something below it. It's a sweet little gift that she got. And she hung it up in our kitchen, and she wrote, "I love you because you change diapers in the middle of the night. That's something for you men to aspire to someday. I love you because, well, that's how we tend to think. I will love someone because of what they do for me, because of what they offer me." And how many relationships fall apart because that "I love you because" ends up blank. There's nothing left. But as we consider what love is and where we find it tonight, we see "I love you because" always has an answer. And it's not found in the person that I'm looking at, the person that I'm saying I'm loving. The answer is always found in Jesus. I love you because of Jesus. Because I have received love from Jesus, perfect love that covers over my sin, perfect love that makes me a child of God, perfect love that sets me apart as God's dearly loved, and changes who I am, and changes how I see life, and changes everything about me so that I can love you even and especially when you are unlovable, even and especially when you don't deserve it, and I can strive to be patient and kind and not to envy and not to be angered and to keep no record of wrongs because Jesus did all of that for me. And it really is that simple. It really is. What is love? Maybe the best answer is Jesus. And where do I find it? Jesus. Go with that and reflect that love in your lives, wherever God has put you, whomever God places in your path. And in doing so, you'll bring glory to the one who has loved you. Let's close with a prayer. Dear Jesus, as we marvel at your love for us this evening, help us to see that though we fall short in our love for others, though we at times struggle to love ourselves because of this, your love has overwhelmed us with your forgiveness. Your love has called us to be your own despite our failures and our weaknesses. And in your love, you have called us to go and to love others, to love God and his word, to love our neighbors, those around us, wherever you've placed us. Give us the strength to do so. Help us to bring your name glory as we love in that name. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and his love overflow in your lives now and forever. Amen.